Welcome back to our three-part podcast on how software and automation will come together to facilitate the future of smart factories and even smarter industries. I'm your host, Connor Pike, a writer for the thought leadership team at Siemens Digital Industries Software. Here in part two, Dale, Rahul, Michael, and I continue diving into the trends and challenges in the manufacturing ecosystem today, the exciting new technologies on the horizon, and how digitalization can help empower companies for the future. Thanks again for tuning in, and please enjoy part two. You know, we're starting to talk about some of the technologies available to these companies to help them overcome the challenges that we've talked about earlier. I'm curious if, you know, we've talked about digital twin a little bit, digitalization as well, you know, getting on the idea of a digital transformation. You know, Rahul and Michael, are there any other key technologies out there that you can think of? And how are these, how can these be used to help overcome some of those challenges of like shortages of labor, the complexity increasing, sustainability requirements, and so forth?
Yeah, you know, from a technology perspective, to the last point, right? Even on our sustainability quest, there are many capabilities now available that can help you evaluate energy models of a machine and try and evaluate not just at a component level, but across the entire function of the entire machine itself, right? So you're not just looking at the energy consumption of a drive or a motor, but what are the implications of that drive or motor working with the, in tandem with the rest of the entire machine itself, which may have another 20 or 30 or 200 such drives, and what's the implication of you making a change in any one of these areas. So there are various ways by which you can bring in machine level simulation. You can, in fact, take it even a step further up and even do a plant level simulation to help you evaluate how will that machine function in the context of a full plant, and then try and do an energy evaluation across that entire plant. And then on an ongoing basis, try and even evaluate what's the electrical and behavior model. How will, if you make a change here, what's the impact of that change in some other parts of the application? So again, many tools, software applications available inside the Siemens organization to help these companies evaluating multi-physics models, evaluating, hey, if I was to push this this drive a little harder, will it have an impact on its load-bearing capacity or vice versa? So you evaluate many things from a simulation perspective. Basically, I think what we are beginning to coin this as simulation for an industrial system, right? And the industrial simulation for industrial system encompasses not only a component, but also at a machine level and at a plant level. So being able to evaluate the entire performance of your production plan, all the way from production planning to the actual operations. So many tools now available at the ready disposable of a customer to really help them speed up and help them with their transformation journey. So from a technology perspective, I think the industry has evolved significantly over the last few years. And with some of the trends and the issues that Michael was talking about earlier, actually it's going to become even more imperative for the machine builders to look at these very seriously to help them succeed and manage the expectations of their end customers.
And we see we started something like 10 years ago in using first simulations design or planning process of machinery. And it is more and more moving from the design to a simulation and digital twins over the life cycle. Means the digital twins which are generated in the design process are maintained over the life cycle. They are used in the operation of the machine. They are also used, we do some research on training of AI algorithms on the digital twin, as you could not simulate failures on very expensive machinery equipment in reality. And therefore, it becomes also more and more important, on the one hand, to address very clearly what are the specific topics we can simulate and what is the value and how this will help the machine build to solve that topic. But on the other hand, also to say you do it once in the design phase to have it sustainable over the life cycle of the machinery. We also need to talk with the machine builder about his PLM processes. And that leads us in the combination that when we talk with machine builders, we not only talk about automation and the simulation, we also talk about how to optimize then the PLM landscape of the machine builder in order to what Dale said, automate what is possible. Because I always challenge machine builders and say, okay, you have a nice digital twin, but how you have derived that digital twin? Is it manual work or is it automated by applying the technology in a very smart way? And I tell you, I find a lot of examples, what we call a lighthouse project, to prove, and that's absolutely right, what is the value of that digital twin and simulation. But it becomes only sustainable if we manage to get it highly automated into the design process and not as a manual topic to do. And that also, of course, nowadays with the lack of engineers at machine builders, it becomes really a must. And gradually, also machine builders are gaining that understanding that we have to look at both sides, at the PLM landscape, in designing, manufacturing of the machines up to the shop floor, getting data connected to it, and also to look at design and operation of the machine from that aspect. There, I think that's really something where we are entering also into new areas, that what are the new business models for machine builders to differentiate in the operation side of the machine at their end customers, with all the challenges and opportunities we have drawn here on the table.
Yeah, so this is, I really like this, the discussion around the simulation, the digital twin, how we can leverage AI in the future. And certainly, you know, Michael, you've talked about a lot of the benefits that the customers are getting when they start adopting this technology. But, you know, let's dive a little deeper into the technology itself. You know, I used to, this conversation is bringing back to some of the conversations that we had in aerospace about using simulation to fly it before you built your airplane and really prove everything out beforehand. So what really makes this work? You know, so let's talk a little bit about the technology that makes this work so that we can get, so our customers can see those benefits. So Michael, what are your thoughts?
From my point of view, what we are doing is, first of all, with machine builders, we have an understanding of, let's start with the design process. What are the challenges machine builders have? And that's industry domain specific in generally designing the machines. Or, as I described before, going into a newer domain. And then we talk with the machine builder that we can enable, teach the machine builder using the Siemens portfolio of simulation, combining this with our expertise on drives, motors, as Raul said, on mechatronic, and educating and enabling them to utilize to fly the machine before it's built. And that's the one topic. The other topic is that on a lot of the things we are doing with machine builders, being in a very close contact with machine builder, there is also a learning on our side in terms of where our portfolio has barriers and hurdles in terms of integration workflows at the machine builders. And of course, we are then internally feeding this back, discussing this with the portfolio responsible organizations to make it as easy as possible for machine builders to apply our portfolio on automation and simulation. And I think that's really the trick that, for example, I always say when it comes to multiphysics simulations, we tell the machine builder we can simulate how the automation, how the drives are affecting the web tension in a continuous running web. And then we say, well, we have a basic model on that, and that's based on our Amazon. And then we take the customer from there. We are helping the customer to validate the models. And that's also something which is very important, that machine builders at the end, they are the experts in their domain. And the final evaluation of how did the digital twin model fits to the reality, that's something machine builders then need to explore by themselves. And we are the enabler to do this in the right and most efficient way. And we have a lot of things where in the past we had standard applications on machine functionality, like a cross cutter, and we are enhancing these applications into the automation part of that application, combining this with a digital twin and also the basic model of for simulation, with just one target, to make it for the machine builder as easy as possible to use our portfolio and to reduce the time to market for the machine builder, not to invent the wheel again, and as much as possible to rely on proven and evaluated functionality we can provide, and then just modify and add really the machine builder or technology specific add-ons which he needs for his differentiation in the market.
I think you hit upon some very good points there, Michael. I think the last key point about having these libraries, which have already been well evaluated, well tested, and these libraries then can be used to create your complete digital twin, your mechatronic digital twin, being able to evaluate your use your digital twin for energy flows, for trying to look at simulating the converting libraries, the rollers, the winders, the clampers, all of these different sub-applications, right? Putting them all together in an easy to set up Lego block manner, I would say, with obviously some level of intelligence through even a 1D digital twin format using like an AIMSIM, and then taking it all the way up to a 3D complete physics kinematic motion model with using an X and MCD as a 3D evaluation tool. That really helps simplify the process for a machine builder in great ways. And then on top of that, what we have tried to do in addition to those things is try and put that in the context of a managed environment, right? So we can manage your machine lifecycle as you deliver different variants of that machine to different customers. So being able to manage not only the design elements, mechanical design elements, but even your automation projects, managing your electrical design elements, managing the changes as you make them. So 2 years from now, if you need to do something different, you know what was done during the initial design phase. You can make the appropriate changes quickly and then reflect it in your ongoing updates for the end customer as well. So bringing in, to me, it's bringing in the simulation capabilities, bringing in the automation capabilities, and then bringing in the PLM backbone with the Teamcenter. Bringing those three capabilities together truly helps us differentiate, I would say, but more importantly, helps a machine builder take their business and their design engineering operations to the next level.
Yeah, I like how you characterize that full life cycle and how you leverage that information throughout the entire process. So throughout the entire life cycle of your design and into your manufacturing and even in your maintenance facility, and how you upgrade and optimize in the future. So let's go a little bit, talk about that just a little bit more as we think about, one of the concepts that we talk about with the digital twin and factory operations is how do you bring together this IT and OT convergence, the convergence of information technology and operational technology. So, Michael, are we approaching an integrated digital thread from the machine and factory design into actual operations, and what benefit can this provide for our customers as they go forward?
Yeah, for machine builders, I think we are working on the concept of Industrial Operation X. that we say in all the machines, we are looking into classic motion control, automation, PLC, in the concept of totally integrated automation. That's somehow the core. And in order to automate things, I call it automate the unknown, things you cannot automate today, you need to connect the new technologies to that core portfolio. And for me, there are two major key elements. The one is the IT connectivity in all aspects, but also applying AI technologies, plus a lot of domain-specific technologies. This is driving us in terms of how we want to develop our portfolio with the clear target that we can enable new dimensions of automation, that we make it as easy as possible in an open ecosystem to bring the functionality together you need for that specific machine, for that specific domain. And we are at a starting point there, where whenever we talk about the future of machine building with our customers, everyone knows that it is a bit uncertain what is going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years with all the changes we have seen. But what we can prove with our capabilities and with our mission is that we are capable to take our machine builders and technology from here and today, connecting the new technologies and take them on the journey into a very innovative future. And I think that's one of the very, very important keys when you talk about the future with machine builders, that in the start, proving that we have the capability, that we can demonstrate in simulation, that we can demonstrate in first examples of very powerful edge applications, AI algorithms, how new technologies will change the automation concepts of machine into the future, and finally also change the capabilities of machine builders and manufacturers to deal with the global challenges we have on this planet.
Yeah, I think this was well said, Michael. This is actually quite exciting to me in terms of what's out there in the future, right? The way I would perhaps maybe characterize some of the things Michael was trying to highlight is maybe break it up to two steps, if you will. The first one is just having a lot more performance insights, right? So you have an easy, transparent way to understand what's happening and effectively increase productivity, right? Helps you get performance insights at a machine level, at a line level, at a plant level, and use that to understand what's going on and use that to make decisions, more precise decisions to optimize the machine availability and performance. So that's something that actually companies are now already beginning to understand and appreciate the value of and are beginning to adopt. And where we get actually a lot more excited as well is in this whole concept of taking it to the next level with bringing in a lot more AI into the process as well. And this whole concept of an executable digital twin, which kind of gets you towards a zero downtime, if you will, right? That's the obviously the ultimate goal, but not practical. But that's the reason we say towards a zero downtime, right? Giving you a much more better understanding of the intelligence and intelligent automation, and being able to quickly evaluate what's going on and using that information to optimize the performance in real time. And we have got some customers now beginning to look at this for some smaller applications, where even trying to look at detect any misfunctions that could be happening inside the performance and then of the machine, and then using that real-time information to make some changes on a real-time basis again, so that the performance can be optimized without any human intervention, if you will. So these are definitely some very exciting capabilities that are already available now and being evaluated from an adoption perspective with performance-based engineering and performance evaluation, and then the executable digital twin, which brings in a lot more automation and artificial intelligence capabilities as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much for tuning in to part two of our podcast on how smart machines enable smart factories. We will be back very soon with part three, so please check in back then to hear the conclusion to our conversation.